Welcome to Thoughts Off the Stem. I'm Justin Peroni, and today we're only smoking one thing. Today, this episode, what we're going to smoke is I'm smoking a little bit of the Nug Smalls Indica Pheno number 25. No, 23. It was the last little bit I had. I found it in my stash jar, so I figured it was time to finish it off. Why won't this turn off? Sorry, my phone won't turn off. I'm trying to get it to turn off. There we go. Okay. So I figured I would smoke that because I wanted to finish it off. So that's what I've got in the bong. That's what I've got in the joint. I don't have a package anymore, so I'll get a picture and I'll put it up right there so you can see it. It's one of my favorites. It's a go-to. If I can't get Gorilla Berries, then I go for the Nugs. As long as it's Pheno number 23, or I think they had a Pheno number 25 at one point. Those two are really nice, but lately they've been, their stuff, they've been using Turple and Cuban Lynx a lot lately. So, I just find that those don't hit quite as hard. I like the, maybe it's a psychological thing. I'm sure somebody will tell me at some point, like, hey man, it's all the same stuff. You know, so who knows, but that's what we're smoking in the pre-roll, as I rolled before I started rolling. And that's what I'm smoking in the bong. It's a really nice sort of citrusy sweet flavor. The high is nice and laid back. You get about 2 hours of wading through water feeling and just nice relaxed and calm, and then you'll eventually crash. But if you smoke more, it picks you back up. So yeah, as long as you continually smoke, you'd be great. So that's what we're smoking today. Thank you for joining me, Justin Peroni. I hope you're ready to smoke, because I'm ready to smoke this sesh. Last sesh, I've covered a lot of stuff. I started to get a lot more cranky old man, I think. Cranky old man-like. And one of the things I've been thinking about is that I'm not lashing out. I'm not putting up with people's shit anymore. Like, if you have a bunch of negativity, bye-bye. No thank you. Don't want it. There's a bunch of drama, a bunch too much, like, no, I'm out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've streamlined my life to a point where I get to go to work, sell weed. I get to come home, smoke weed, talk about weed. It's a pretty good life. I'm not going to complain, even kind of. I have, like, no stress. You know, all my bills are taken care of. I'm good. But I've noticed with all the negativity I've noticed that there's, like, what am I trying to say? I'm caught in two different conversations. Sorry. That high, that's what I'm telling you. This high hits you immediately, and it's really nice, but it's like, if you take too much, it's too much. You know what I'm saying? So I'm overridden right now with high. Okay. What I wanted to talk about is parenting, because as a pothead, a lot of people look down on weed smokers who are parents. Because they're all like, oh, you're passing on bad values to your kids. So let me tell you, okay? I've seen a lot of kids whose parents are not potheads. And there's just as much going on there, too. So let's not pretend like anybody's got the right way or knows, like, the one way to do everything perfect. Okay? But I find it funny because I don't hide it at all. And Since I've been working at the shop for the last, a couple years or so, I've started to notice that, like, I'm way more open about it with everybody than most people, even though there's a lot of people, and it's recreational, you can use it in Canada, you can buy it like booze, I'm high and it's taking me away from it. Dude, I'm so stoned right now. One fucking hit. I'm a lightweight lately. I don't know what I'm doing different, but oh, you know what it was? I was on concentrates for a while. Okay, back to parenting. Where was I? What I've noticed is that a lot of supposedly square or straight edge parents look down on, you know, parents that smoke weed. But I'm very open about it. I like broadcast it, essentially, because I work at a pot shop. My kids know I work at a pot shop. We discuss weed on a regular basis, or cannabis. The effects, how you can use it, when you can use it, why you would use it, all that stuff, right? I'm very open with them. And I find that that openness sort of takes the edge off it a little bit. Like, they still have interest, but it's more of like they want to understand it too. They don't just want to go out and use it in defiance. What they want to do is they want to, like, when the right age is, they want to try it because dad uses it, fine, fair enough. But as I tell them, you got to come to me and I'll help you make the right decision, right? So I've noticed that like a lot of parents give that like a nasty sort of connotation in their mind. Oh, well, that's the pothead dad. And I've had conversations with people at the shop where they try to hide. This is funny, man. They try to hide smoking weed from their kids by getting, what do you call them? A smoke buddy. Right? Now, if you're old school, a smoke buddy was a toilet paper roll, like an empty toilet paper roll, just the cardboard, with a bounce sheet over it, an elastic, and then you would take your hit from whatever and blow it through the tube, through the bounce sheet so that you couldn't smell it, right? You could still kind of smell it, but that was the like the original smoke buddy. So people come in and buy these thinking that, oh, I'll smoke a joint and you won't smell it because I'm going to blow the smoke out through the smoke buddy. Well, what about the joint? The joint's still lit. You could still smell it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not hiding anything from anyone. You're just being dishonest. So I always question the mentality of people, right? So sometimes if the customer seems open to the conversation, I've had the conversation where, like, why do you do that? Like, why does it matter? Like, you drink at dinner, you drink around your kids, maybe not, you're not like getting fucked up, but you're definitely having like a beer or a glass of wine near your kid, and your kid knows not to go for that, you know? And then, but with weed, it's still kind of, I guess, early enough on that it's considered negative. So people still try to hide it, but you're just teaching your kid to hide it. That's all you're doing. You're not really helping your kid understand it. And if it's gonna be a consistent in their life and around them, there is a good chance that at some point, being legal and of legal age, they may turn to say, hey, I want to try this, and, you know what to expect. So why not just be honest with them? So that's my theory with my kids, is I'm open and honest pretty much about everything. Now, that carries over to the fact that, like, I don't hide my love for weed. So I wear my weed ring. I have the weed necklace I wear sometimes. You know, and I wear it to work, and I wear it around sometimes when I want to feel all weedy, okay? And then I'll wear, you know, different shirts from different weed people. It may be from, like a Nugs. I have Nugs, a Nugs hoodie, the Slaps. I have from the guys that make, from Diamonds, the guys that make Diamonds. I have a shirt from them. And on the front it says Diamond, so it looks like just like a normal, could be anything logo. But then on the back, it's a close-up picture of two white diamonds. Like, if you're not versed in what weed is, you look at that and you're like, meth. You're advertising meth, man. Like, no, not really. But yeah, I can get how it could be confusing. So, like, I forget sometimes that I'm wearing these shirts because it's normal for me to wear them at work, you know, around the house, whatever. Everybody knows what I do, so I don't hide it. Well, I'm also the parent that gets called to go to the school. So I think at first, maybe people knew what I did. So they had like a not so accurate idea of me before they met me. And then they met me and they were like, oh, okay. But there were a couple times where my smart ass forgot or thought it was a great idea to wear, like I said, these weed covered shirts to schools because I forgot what I was doing and it became normal to me, okay? So one time I'm supposed to go to my kid's school and it's for an assembly where, like, they're giving out the awards at the end of the year or middle of the year, something like that, right? And I think my daughter was supposed to get one. I can't remember if my son was. He might have, but I don't think so. It's giving him a lot of faith. Okay. But I'm pretty sure that one of them was. So I show up in the middle, because I had to work that day from work, and I'm wearing my Diamonds shirt. And people, when I'm coming, are like, hey, how's it going? Hi, how are you? Right? And then as I pass, the next time I saw them, they were all like, I don't want to talk to you. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then I drop them off at home, go to the bathroom, realize I've been wearing a meth shirt around town to my kid's school. And I'm sure that that these parents honestly thought that, like, you know, meth is what it was. It's not meth. It's weed. It's just weed in diamond form. It doesn't do anything like meth. It's not going to kill you. It'll make you feel joy, and it could terrify you. I'm not going to lie. If you took too much diamonds, you could definitely end up terrified. But for the, you know, purpose of the shirt, it's not that terrifying. And I forget, again, that, like, people aren't open with about weed, even though it's a regular thing. Now, it's like a shirt that has weed on it. Okay, whatever, right? I'm not saying walk around, smoke weed, and, like, blow it in people's faces or anything like that. Even though you can walk down the street and smoke weed. Just saying. I'm pretty sure you can. You just can't smoke around parks, schools, anywhere kids play, or where there's a large public gathering. So, like, you'd have to smoke in a designated area if you went to, I don't know, like, a basketball game at the, you know, rec center or something like that, or anything bigger. But, yeah, I forget that I wear these shirts around. And then, oh, yeah. So after that, there was another time where my son was getting suspended. Now, I don't think it was his fault, based on my own investigation into the situation, because I'm a good dad, so I do my best to, you know, get both sides, and I don't think my kids are angels. I think they do dumb shit, for sure. I see them every day, I know. But anyway, he had got into a fight at school with this kid. Now, the other kid started the fight, and actually hit him first. So when my son retaliated and hit the other kid went down. What people fail to take into account in this scenario is that my son is 11 years old. He's the size of a 16-year-old, okay? He's like 5'10", and he's probably about 195 pounds, if not 200. He's almost the same size as me. Not in thickness, because I have a fat belly right now, but in height, he's very close. So him hitting a regular 11-year-old is like the Hulk hitting a normal human. I don't really believe that. I'm just saying, it's like, it's a lot worse than just, you know, a couple normal sized 11-year-olds go, like, you know, having a couple smacks to the head. So if my son hits somebody, it's gonna hurt, because he's a big kid and he doesn't quite understand how to, you know, use his body. He's just doing what he does, right? So this kid hits him and he hits back. Now I am saying this is, you know, self-defense or whatever. So I don't know if I can really get mad at him, okay? But I realize, I get called down to the principal's office, right? And as I'm sitting in the principal's office, we're talking about what's happened. And even the principal's like, this is ridiculous. You know, like, there's no way. Because supposedly this kid got a concussion. But the way it rolled out was that the fight goes down one day. 36 hours later, he's taken to the hospital and says that he has a concussion from that. There's so many things that could have happened in between that time. I'm not saying anything. I'm just pointing out the facts that there's too much time in between. If you get a concussion, you know right away. If you get a concussion, you're not coming to school the next day. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not gonna go home, then come to school the next day, then leave midday. I mean, that's not been my experience. And I'm like, I can handle some getting knocked around a bit. I played football, I've had a few concussions, and there was no way the next day I was at school. Like, you go see a doctor right away. You know if you've been concussed. Like, I don't necessarily believe that the concussion happened during this fight. So we're kind of arguing back and forth, right? We come to an understanding that it does seem really suspicious or weird that it's unfolded this way. So we iron it all out. I'm going to take my son home. I'm walking to the car and I realize I have my Nugs sweater on. So the Nugs sweater is bright yellow. It says Nugs in the corner and on the front. And then on the back, it has a big hand that just says Slaps because it's their brand, right? Their Indica brand, Indica Slaps. Dude, the stuff I'm smoking in this. Maybe that's why I rolled it, because I was going to tell this story. Dude, I realized the irony when I sat in the car. I'm like, I'm defending him for punching a kid in the head that punched him in the head first. Okay. And I'm wearing a weed shirt that says Slaps on the back and is a hand essentially slapping air, you know? Like, the irony is not lost on me. I know that it's stupid, but that's the type of shit that I find funny. It's like the little idiosyncrasies in life that are like, oh. I went to the mall the other day. I have all three kids with me. We're walking around. We're going to do whatever, right? Just hang out for a bit. Something to do on like a Saturday afternoon, I think it was. So we're walking around. Everything's all cool. And I realize at a certain point that everybody's laughing at me, like chuckling under their breath. Like they're taking a look at me and then like kind of head down and as they walk by, right? I noticed it once in the parking lot, but I thought it was because of the conversation that my kids and I were having. We're loud, you know, there's four of us when it's the three of them and me, obviously. So when we walk around, we take up a lot of space, like physically and in the air, you know? And this guy, I thought he was just sort of chuckling at the conversation we were having as we're walking through the fucking parking lot, right? And I think nothing of it. We're walking through the mall. I walk by a couple families and the husbands are kind of chuckling to themselves. They're, you know, how you like walk and you give a passing glance like, hey man, how's it going kind of thing, you know? And you kind of nod at each other. And then I would notice after the nod, they'd be like... And then the wife would be walking behind with the kids and the wife would be like, oh. And I'm like, what the hell? And I couldn't figure it out. And then by the time we got out of, I think we went to GameStop. By the time we got out of GameStop, no, we went to Indigo first because my oldest wanted to get a book. So that was mostly like, you know, young, well, it was a mix of people, I guess. But I didn't get as many looks because, I don't know, maybe just people didn't want to acknowledge it. But as soon as I got into the mall, people are looking at me and like kind of chuckling and I'm going through GameStop, whatever. And then I come out and I see this woman with her like young kid. I don't realize that she's with a dude. She's staring right at me. I'm like, what the hell is going on today? This is not like, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. But at the same time, everybody's laughing after they look at me. So I'm like... What the fuck? Like, do I have something on my face? Like, what's wrong? Like, did my ear fall? I don't know, right? So, I see her, and I'm thinking, like, oh, okay. And then I realize she's with the guy that had done some body work on my car. And so I'm like, oh, hey, man, how's it going? And he laughs at me, and then she goes, yeah, you have a nice day, too. I'm like, what the? Oh, I realize I'm wearing a big smiley face shirt. That's all whacked out, like looks like it's all high, right? That says have a nice days. It's massive. It's a huge shirt. I bought it oversized. It's one of my fat guy shirts. And that's when it hit me. I was like, fuck, I've been walking around with this on, totally forgot I had it on. And people are looking at me like, oh. Yeah, see, I have, like, you know, so what happens when you have low standards for style, really? I have like nice shoes. I have a few like crisp hats and then anything in between, whatever. I don't care. I'd rather be comfortable than not, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I found kind of funny, was that all these parents kept walking by and laughing. So obviously like weed is more accepted now, right? And I guess people are getting okay with it. And the shirt is kind of funny, but it's not that funny. But it's funny when you know that you can get weed. And like, I'm wearing, as my coworkers call them, my douchebag sunglasses. Because they're like tinted red. And they like fade. They look like, you know, kind of Elvis style sunglasses. For now, you know. And so I walked, I had those on. So I must have looked like just the biggest jackass. Like 41-year-old... 18 wannabe looking motherfucker walking through the mall with all these weed t-shirts on. Hey man, I like weed. What can I tell you? You know? It's not illegal to wear a weed shirt, I don't think. Don't make it illegal. I like my weed shirts. I feel like it's fair to show off a brand you like. It's not like all of them have weed on it. The Diamonds one is the only one that really has like any kind of picture of weed. You know, the other one's just a cartoon hand with words. So like, the Diamond one is the worst one because I forget I'm wearing it so often because the front looks like, I'm telling you, it looks like a regular, you know, decent, any day kind of, or not any day kind of thing, any like upstanding business, it would be their logo, you know. It's just perfect. And but then it has fucking crack rocks on the back and I forget that I have them and I wear it, and then people out always give me funny looks and I forget that I'm wearing it. But again, I'm also the dad that wears the weed, you know. People tell me to grow up all the time. This is my theory about this whole situation of growing up, okay? When you were a kid, you wanted to be an adult because you wanted the freedom of being able to do what you wanted to do as an adult, right? So once you get to the point where as an adult, you've gained the freedom to do the things that you want to do and do them how you want to do them, why wouldn't you take advantage of that? Why would you not want to be in a position where you can have adult money but kid type fun? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, to me it seems senseless to work hard to build up all this stuff and like in wealth and whatever you're trying to do, right, to not be able to enjoy it. And the best way to enjoy it is to let all the sort of like restrictions and constraints go and relax. You know what I'm saying? And the best way to do that is to be financially stable so that you can enjoy your moment of relaxation as if you were a child with no worries and somebody else is taking care of everything for you. You know what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, isn't that sort of the goal? So as a parent, I feel like, you know, our kids need to have a childhood for sure. But I think there's a lot of things that we should be very honest with them about. You know, instead of trying to hide things or lie, I think that at a certain age, you have to start being a little bit more open and clear about the information that you give your kid. And I feel like that is across the board. Like, sure, there are certain circumstances that, you know, if they don't happen in your life, you're not going to have that discussion. So I understand that. But at the same time, they're going to have questions about other people's shit. Right? So instead of brushing it under the table and like sort of like leaving it till later and keeping them, you know, at a certain level of ignorance because, you know, you want them to enjoy an unaffected childhood, sometimes it's a good idea to give them, you know, a little peek so that at a younger age they start to understand a little better how the world works so that they can operate in operate earlier on. Because I know, I don't know, maybe it's just about, I know people that, you know, have been sort of sheltered to the point where even now they don't do a whole lot of anything for themselves. And they're always relying on other people to sort of keep them up, right? Whereas I want my kids to be able to be self-sufficient, to be able to support themselves, make their own choices and decisions and make the good ones, right? And I want them to be able to do that before I did. Because my upbringing was pretty cushy, I'm not gonna lie. I had a really nice childhood. I had a great upbringing, I didn't have to worry about anything. I didn't start to see like what the world was like until I sort of got out on my own, and you know, which is fine. But I wish I had been prepared earlier. So I try to instill that in my kids as well. It's like a little earlier with a little bit of, you know, interjection of reality. Every now and then doesn't really hurt. I think it enhances their experience, but it, you know, I don't know. That's just my opinion. And I think that doing that opens up a really nice doorway of communication with your kids. Like my kids, I feel like we're very close. We could talk about anything. They won't hesitate to bring up any question to me, you know? And I feel like that's kind of the point as a parent, is to be able to, if you can't teach them everything, because you can't, right? At least be able to give them the tool of discussion so that they can have their ideas heard, but they can also be open to changing their ideas to better themselves, right? Because too many people get too late in life before they figure out who they are and how they want to act. They go through stages and then all of a sudden it's late, right? So if you learn how to do that at a younger age and control your emotion and understand what your principles and morals are, I feel like you can be, you know, a better adult, a better human. So I try to pass that on to my kids. And in doing that, sometimes I get a little, you know, loosey-goosey with the whole situation of weed and weed wear. And I forget that I'm around adults that are straight edge that are like, fuck your shit, you know? That don't really appreciate my flagrant, not even flagrant, my flaunting of, you know, weed, not paraphernalia, but weed accessories. No, weed swag. Why you gotta bring attention to it? Because it's something worth having attention, you know? If it wasn't worth having attention, I wouldn't say shit. Sorry, I just got really high and it just hit me so nice. I just lit my joint. Like I said, Nugs, Indica Slaps, no, Smalls. I'm pretty sure it's number 23. It's really nice, like I said, and you can pair Nugs flower with their fresh frozen hash resin. Man, that's a mouthful to say, especially when you're stoned. And it's really nice. Yeah, it's really good. The high also compounds, and it's a good move through phases. So if you have nothing to do and you're at a cottage, take some of this with you, and I guarantee you, you'll have the best Saturday ever. Don't drive a boat or any of that shit. But like, just hang out on the dock, swim in the water. Dude, I'm telling you, that's a good day. That's my pitch for this week's weed. I really like it. And it stays good for a while, because I've had this for, I think, 3 months now in my stash jar, and it's only like the trail end of the bag, so there's not many Nugs left, but it's still good. Like, it's still very tasty. It still seems, it's not super fresh. I mean, it's not like as if I just bought it, but it doesn't have that campfire taste. It still has the citrusy sweet sort of flavor to it. Problem is, I rolled the filter part too big. And now it's all oxygenated because there's like air holes and shit. This is a bad roll is what I'm saying. Yeah. So I hope you're enjoying the sesh. I hope you're enjoying your day. I hope I hope life's being good to you. I hope that you get to do what you do, whatever you're working towards. I hope you achieve it. I hope you come back and watch this all the time for fun. When you need a smoke buddy, a sesh buddy, you know? So I figured, since I was talking about kids and the stupidity of parenting sometimes, not even the stupidity of parenting, the stupidity of me while parenting sometimes, I thought what I would look into, because at the shop I've also been asked this recently about cannabis for dogs. Or even just pets, but dogs more so and more specifically. So I figured what I'd do is I'd look up an article, because I'm talking about things I care about, right? I don't have a dog. But if you have a dog and you've been wondering about cannabis and whether your dog can benefit from using it or not, I'm going to highlight some of the things that this article from about a year ago, because that's the most recent one I could find, unfortunately, is going to tell us what to look for in this week's Weed Facts. It's time for some Weed Facts, bro. That's right, some weed and some facts. Right on. So this week's Weed Facts are from leafly.ca, and it is, the article is called Canadian Vets on Marijuana for Pets. Now, I just took and paraphrased this, so you'll want to read the article, because, like, in no way am I saying that you should give CBD or marijuana or cannabis or anything like that to your pet. All I'm saying is that what you should do is maybe read into it and talk to your vet before you decide to do anything about it, because you don't want to accidentally poison your animal. So, or not, yeah. Yeah, I'm sticking with that. That seems like a good disclaimer there. Okay. So here's some of the points that I took away from the article, six of them. Now, basically, what I wanted to explain with this was that we have gotten a lot of questions about what pets can have. Now, I have personally heard that CBD is good for dogs. Some people have used it for their dogs with cancer and things like that, to not to necessarily fix it, but to, you know, give them a more comfortable end of life scenario. So that seems to be, oh, I got some weed in my mouth. That seems to be what most people are looking for. It's not necessarily like that they're coming in to, at least at our shop, to find something that's gonna cure whatever the illness is. It's more that the dog is old, or has had these problems for a long time, and they're really suffering, so they're hoping that it can just like ease it until, you know, sort of they pass away kind of thing, you know. But our, like, my stance too, because I've heard that, you know, all of it can be bad for them, but THC specifically is not the greatest. Now, I don't know this for sure, that's just what I've heard. I've heard, like I said, that CBD can help, because a couple people have said that it makes the dog's end of life, their dog, it made their dog, the end of life for it, like, way more comfortable. So, in this article from leafly.ca, Vets on Marijuana for Pets, Canadian Vets on Marijuana for Pets, essentially the first point they want to make is that vets generally stay vague on the use of cannabis in pets due to the lack of research as well as legal pet products. So, I guess at the time of this article, because I've heard otherwise, that there was no legal cannabis, hemp, CBD, whatever, available for use in animals. Because the Canadian Cannabis, is it the Canadian Cannabis Act, I think? Doesn't cover pets, just covers humans. Like, that's it. So I guess you can't really say that you can have anything until there's been tests done, and there haven't been enough yet. Number two, giving your pet people cannabis is in a bit of a legal gray area. Like I said, I don't know what the laws are against it, but I would assume that if your, you know, dog, you purposely give your dog too much weed or THC or cannabis or edibles or whatever, right? That you could be cited for, like, animal abuse, you know, unless they have, like, a medical condition that says, oh, they should have that much, you know? That's the only thing I can think. Well, yeah, basically. Even though that's the case, though, people still continue to utilize human CBD oils for their pets, because they find, they don't, the people that I've seen that do it tend to get stuff that doesn't have any THC in it, like not even trace amounts or whatever. So a lot of the more organic, natural oils, I guess, or I guess if you consider that growers, whatever, they tend to buy from them, which seems to really help. And the other thing that they see, they say, obviously, like I said before, wait, where are we? Oh my God, I just got so high. I zoned into nothing. How are you doing? I forgot this was supposed to be a smoke sesh. Oh, ho, 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 ho. This is how you just ramble on for fucking an hour. Dude, I'm so high. If you haven't tried Nug Smalls in the... Did I get a half ounce? I did. I got a half ounce. You should try it. It's small little nugs, but it is quite the impressive high, man. It's, you know what it does? It slows time down. Like, I feel right now like I've been talking since I switched the video over for about 25 minutes. It's been eight minutes. I don't know if this is good for a podcast or not, but that's what we're talking about. Because I don't remember what just happened there. I think my brain went flat and I lost complete focus on what I was talking about. So, where were we? Oh, we were on number two, where people continue to utilize human use CBD oils for their pets. Most common uses for pets are pain relief, inflammation reduction, and relief from anxiety. Yeah, see, so people and pets, similar kind of thing. That's what they're helping with. It's a consistent plant, that's all I'm saying. Dude, I'm so stoned right now. You can make fun of me all you want, I don't care. I'm so high, I'm having a great time. I'm also an idiot. Did you know that? Have you been watching this? How? Dude, I don't know if any of this is funny or usable. I guess we'll find out. Where was I? I keep losing track. That's what happens, Justin, when you smoke a lot of weed. This isn't even a lot, though. I'm just high. Maybe it's because I haven't... Have you ever noticed that when you... If you don't drink enough water and you just smoke... Like, you smoke weed, and you drink other stuff, just not water. You seem less clear. But then as soon as you start drinking water, you can smoke more weed and you seem more clear. Like, in the head. Like, it doesn't affect you quite the same. I think dehydration's a real bitch when it comes to weed smoking. I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm just pointing out some of the things that happen when you're high. Even if they're dumb. Okay, back on track. We're talking about weed facts. Most common uses, already did that. Okay, limited science is starting to show that CBD is actually beneficial for your pets, but it is still in the early stages of research. So basically, the thing that I read was that CBD is obvious, it seems to be much more effective and better for dogs than THC. But more specifically, hemp-derived CBD. So not just like, as we, cannabis, whatever, marijuana CBD, but also hemp. Derived CBD seems to be gaining best results. Dude, I am so stoned. I wish I could play music. If I could play music, maybe this would be more entertaining. Because right now I feel like this is dumb. All right. And the last thing to note, which is actually kind of funny, because I don't know, it seems kind of okay. So I don't know. Sorry, I'm half, dude. I'm welcome to Thoughts Off the Stem. Fuck. Dogs have more CB1 receptors in the brain than other animals, as well as humans. So this means they can tolerate higher doses of CBD oil, which makes the threshold for intoxication higher. Makes it tougher to get them intoxicated, at least with CBD. With THC in high doses, I guess there was, I don't remember what the percentage was, but you can read the article on Leafly if you want to. But it basically outlines what they did. And yeah, CBD seems very beneficial. And like I said, anybody that's come to the shop that said they've used it or wanted to use it has found it effective for whatever end result they were looking for. It has, not that I've heard it's cured anything, but it's definitely helped make it easier to live with whatever the issue is for the dog. But again, I'm not telling you to do this. I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying if you are interested in doing something like that and you've had that thought, talk to your vet first. If you want some information on it, read this article on leafly.ca. Yeah. And that's that. That's the weed facts for this week.
That's right, some weed and some facts. Right on.
Man, I'm so stoned. I hope you've been enjoying your time, like, just in general, you know? I say that a lot, I know, but look. I have a rule in my life, and the kids have this, like, it's the one hardline rule that I actually have, right? Is with the kids, with myself, with anyone that's involved with me. So if I'm working at the shop, the understanding is there, I think, where I don't like no negativity. You know, you could be frustrated about stuff, you could be mad at something, you can, you know, you can be ticked off, but you have to find a way to deal with it without lashing out at the people around you, because that's one thing that I noticed that I would do sometimes, was I would get really ticked off at whatever the scenario was, doesn't matter, and then I would lash out at the people around me instead of the people, like, instead of the scenario. I didn't try to fix it, I would just get mad at the people around me when I talked about, or like, because I hadn't figured out that how to fix it yet, right? So I'd get mad at them or agitated with them, take all my frustrations out on them instead of dealing with the actual issue, right? So I always try to push that on my kids. Yes, sure, I want them to have a good education. They're definitely going to be smart. They're definitely smart. They're definitely going to be good. You know, I find that it's my job as a parent to more so, like, just corral them. I look at myself as, like, sort of a sheepdog, where I just have to herd the three of them in the right direction and sort of give them little chirps every now and then to help them, you know, choose the right path based on the mistakes that I've made, you know, but also give them the room to be able to make their own mistakes, so that when they do make that mistake, they can come talk to you about it and figure out why, because you can watch it happen and then you can see what the deal is, right? And then you can give them a third eye view of it. And if they're smart, they'll take from it, they'll learn, and they'll be better themselves the next time. And I think that's my whole goal as a parent, is I don't really care how people view me. I just do my thing. Just in life, I try to do my own thing. Just have, like, a good time doing it. I don't see the point of negativity. I don't see the point of, you know, getting pissed off at people for having an opposing opinion or anything like that. I find it funny that, you know, when I wear shirts out in public that are weed shirts, some people are either like, yeah, right on. Or other people are all like, no, no, you shouldn't do that. No way. You know? The best, though, is when you're walking in public and you see people that you sell to at the store, and they still, like, they forget, because I'm, like I said, I'm open about it. So I just kind of, like, people know that I know a lot about weed, you know? And so I'll be walking down the mall with the kids sometimes, I'll wave, be like, hey man, how's it going? And then, you know, sometimes the husbands will, like, give you a little wave at the sign, be like, oh, okay, yeah, hey, you know? And then if it's, like, the wives, they'll kind of look at you, turn the other way, pretend they don't know you. It's funny. That hasn't happened a lot. I remember that happened, like, a while ago when I first started noticing people that I sold weed to, and some of them being, like, you know, pretty seemingly, I guess, straight edge people, but, like, it's legal, it's okay, you're allowed to, you don't have to feel bad about it, it's weed, it makes you happy, it's good, you know, maybe not in, like, crazy doses and to the point where it fucks up your life, but as, like, a, you know, little bit of a relax here and there, go for it. If you get paranoid, probably don't smoke it, because that's probably not for you then. You know? Maybe just stick to wine. Or whatever. But yeah. So that's how I feel about parenting. I feel like we should just be open and honest with our kids about everything, because it gives them I think it being like being open and honest, especially about like drinking or drugs or things that happen in life, it gives them what's the word I'm looking for? It gives them a little bit of an edge, like not in a bad way, you know. You have to get, as you get older, you have to get accustomed to a lot of different things in life changing, right? And big events, big things that happen, being open and honest about, you know, alcohol, weed, things like that. Those are things that come with a stigma or a certain perception until you're a certain age, right? But if you're open with him about with them about it, then that stigma kind of goes away. So when I first started talking to them about weed and booze, because they were having that discussion in school, it was, oh, that's bad because this, and this. Now, it's, well, Dad, everybody smokes weed. Like, yeah, I know. People just pretend that they don't, because they don't want to take on the stigma of, oh, I'm an idiot. But I think that is sort of changing. Like, back in the day, sure, people looked at stoners as dummies. Stoners are clearly not dummies, man. They're just somewhere else for the moment. You know what I mean? And to understand that, I think takes away the curiosity to a certain extent. Because I know when I was a kid, I never saw my dad like drunk, right? Because if he was too drunk, he would just like straight upstairs to bed. I think I only saw a trail of him being maybe drunk a couple times. That was it, right? And so it seemed like it had to be something that you snuck around and did, you know, did it on your own behind their back. Whereas if they had just been like, here's a beer, there's a good chance I would have gone 50-50. Either I would have loved it or I would have been like, oh, this is gross, right? But also, it creates a level of respect, because you're teaching your kid. What am I trying to say? Wow, I'm just gonna ramble for a bit. Hold on, let me light this joint. My arms are getting heavy. That's how stoned I am, obviously. Okay. This is all I'm gonna say, and then I'm gonna end this because I'm babbling. But essentially, I believe that you should be open and honest with your kids about everything. You don't necessarily have to give away every little detail of every little scenario, right? So that, you know, it protects a little bit of their innocence. I understand that. But at the same time, if as they grow, you can open up and show them a little bit more and help them understand a little bit more than maybe just, you know, what it's like to be a kid, then I think that you will have more productive people, a better generation of more productive people, because you will have instilled that value of progress, self-confidence. You've put them in a position where they've had to learn at least in a little bit some level of adversity, and fending for themselves, which is beneficial, instead of just trying to keep everything comfortable all the time. Kids have to go through things too, because that's a part of their learning curve. And I try to do that as much as I can. I try to stay as open and as aware and as honest as I can be with the kids. Sometimes I probably get away a little bit, because when we have discussions, there's three of them, it feels like, you know, we're having a grown-up talk, and it just gets comfortable. But you can have that stuff with your kids at dinner, right? Anyway, that's what I have to say this week, is be who you are for your kids, be there for your kids, and don't look down on somebody just because they smoke weed. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you have never had a baby and smoked a joint then played with a baby, you don't know what the fuck is up. I'm telling you right now, that is probably some of the most fun shit ever. All you want to do is lie on the ground and play with a rattle. Perfect. So does that guy. I used to do that with my son when he was little all the time. You know? It was so much fun. And I miss those days. So, let's Also acknowledge the fact that potheads can be good parents as well. Weed does not make you a bad person. Being a bad person makes you a bad person. That's it. There's nothing else to it. And that's the end of my ramble episode. Jesus Christ. Oh, I hope you hung in there. This one felt like it took a bit, you know? Felt like a workout. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the sesh. Those are my thoughts off the stem for this week. I hope you come back next week with me, Justin Baroni, your favorite friendly neighborhood pothead. Your favorite? Yeah, sure, your favorite friendly neighborhood pothead. Yeah, hope you come back next week on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Good Pods, Pandora, YouTube. You can also check me out on Thoughts Off the Stem at Instagram and Tots420 on Twitter and Tots420.com for releases of new episodes every time I put them up. I'm still trying to decide if I should switch the day. So if you think I should switch the day and try something new out, let me know in the comments so that, I can pick a better time to do it than Friday at 420. I just figured Friday at 420 worked out well. Anyway, until next time, keep your lids low, baby.